nation of Sri Lanka. And, you know, I greet you amidst a world that is spinning, twisting and turning. Interesting things, you know, taking place in the world right now as the kingdom of darkness ramps up its efforts on every side for their global push. You know, one thing you got to understand is that that which is taking place in different nations, different countries, and there's a spiritual force, organized spiritual effort behind the scenes. So when you see people doing certain things and you say, gosh, how could that person do this or how could that person do that? You got to realize that those people, just like even right now, those people are under the spiritual direction and spiritual guidance of their authority structure, which is on the dark side. Just like, you know, we are, you know, under the spiritual authority of the kingdom of God, just like we are under the spiritual authority of Christ Jesus. And he leads and guides us. He shows us the direction that we should go. He gives us the equipping. And so we are under compulsion by him to do certain things. And so we do them. And likewise, they are under compulsion from their demonic side to do certain things as well. So now what the devil always seeks to do is he always seeks to try to establish his own kingdom. You know, if you look in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it talks about the fall and also why Lucifer fell. You know, and ultimately, you know, with that fall, ingrained in that fall was also his desire to be God. His desire to, you know, exalt himself, to be like the Most High. You know, that was his goal. That was his push. And didn't make it very far with that. Thrown out of heaven. And, you know, so that was, but that was his choice. And as he was, you know, discarded, thrown away, and slated to be eternal trash, eternal garbage, you know, his desire was then to say, okay, well, I'm going to set up my own dark kingdom, my own kingdom that is in opposition to the Most High. And, you know, in that process of setting up his own kingdom, you know, there's a goal, there's a push to get men and women to, of their free will, commit themselves and commit their souls to that kingdom, because God won't override your free will, nor will the enemy. So you choose. And they want people to exchange their eternal soul for, you know, a run around the track here. Your 15 minutes of fame, your chance to be something in the world. Money, power, possession, pleasure, you know, whatever it is that is, whatever it is that tickles your fancy, you know, they'll give it to you in exchange for your soul. They'll give you that which is temporal and that which is short term in exchange for that which is eternal and that which lasts forever. And they consume souls. They consume the souls of people. They use the souls, the free will decision souls of men and women to power their machine, which is ultimately slated to try to block the light. You know that? I mean, really, there's not much more going on here than that. I mean, yeah, we dress it up in all kinds of different ways, but the goal is to block the light and the truth. The goal of the world system is set up to, it's set up as an enemy to that which is God, that which is truth, that which is light, that which God has put in place. So, you know, in order to, so basically they're anti-him. So you have Christ and then you have Antichrist, which is funny because, you know, even with that, You know, the world has nothing in and of itself. It has no light in and of itself. And even with that, it can't do, it has to be anti-Christ because you know, Christ is the source. So the only way that there is any even reason or meaning to their existence is because they are anti-Christ. So the spirit of anti-Christ has gone out into the world. You know, that's what is a predominant push in so much of what you see going on in politics, religion, you know, different things that shape educational systems, entertainment. My gosh, entertainment is so blatant. It's out there. Now, once you understand the nature of the beast, excuse me, once you understand the nature of the beast, once you understand the body of that system, then when you see the different heads rearing themselves up, it just becomes, oh, okay, there it is again. Oh, okay, there it is. There it is in medicine. I see. I see now, you know, that these are, while we serve the great physician, while we serve Jehovah Rapha, our healer, theirs is not about healing. Theirs is about symptom maintenance and long-term extraction of as much money and as much of your life source as they can possibly take out of you over a given period of time. You know, you got to understand that within the world system, that they don't want to cure you. Because if they cure you, they put themselves out of a job. No, they want to keep you, they want to string you along and treat you for the rest of your life. Yeah, that's the goal there. I mean, ultimately, that's the ultimate form of evil within their system, is just to keep you strung along, to keep you hooked, to keep you dependent on something that you never needed, you know, before. You know, I was reading something today about, you know, one of the top 10 IQ people in the world right now. And one of these guys, he was diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit disorder, and they wanted to put him on Ritalin, and his parents decided not to, and they just kept going forward and letting him learn and develop. Found out he was a genius. Yeah, absolutely. Found out that this guy was an absolute genius, one of the top 10 smartest people in the world today. But you know, the establishment wanted to drug him. Do you think if he was on Ritalin that he would get his top test scores? Absolutely not. Because those things actually change your brainwave patterns, get you more pliable, get you more susceptible to whatever it is that they want to do to you. So just all I'm saying is just realize that that is the game. Realize that you could probably get more out of some good exercise and eating right than you will out of all these synthetic drugs that are designed to make you an addict and dependent. Now, whatever situation life finds you in when you hear this message, take it to the Lord and ask God for wisdom. Ask, seek, knock. If you're not happy with the way that things are, ask Him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. If you don't like the way things are, well, all right, today's a good day to make some changes. Because you know what God has allowed for us to walk this life out free? He's allowed for us to live an abundant life and an abundant existence. That's what you're destined for. So, you know, we had somebody write in a little while back and said we talk a lot about overcoming. Yes, absolutely. You know, one reason that we talk about that a lot is because, to this brother out there that's listening, is because if you look even in the book of Revelation, in the message to all the seven churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3, to him who overcomes, there's one thing that Jesus said consistently to every church, so all seven churches. So whether you see the book of Revelation, and whether you see that as a description of church history, or whether you see that as a type of every church existing in the world today, or whether you see it as a combination, or whether you see it as something entirely different, or as the individual, whatever it may be. See, I like things simple. Whatever it may be, the simple message is to him who overcomes. Throughout history, throughout time, right now, whoever you are, to him who overcomes. And how do we overcome? Remain in him. Let his words remain in you. John 16, read the end of the chapter. Jesus said, I overcame. You know, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. We overcome the world because we're in Christ Jesus. Purely that. Purely that. You don't overcome the world because of your own best efforts. You don't overcome the world because you have a 12-step program. You don't overcome the world because you read a good book about it. You don't overcome the world because you got organized. You don't overcome the world because you got on a diet. You don't overcome the world because you figured out now what they're all about. Hello. Hello, listen. You don't overcome the world because you figured out what they're all about. I wish this message would get through to some people and some friends that I have out there, because you got to understand that you can know everything about what they're doing to you, but you don't overcome the world because of that. It's like knowing everything about a maximum security prison, but you're still inside. You know, you can know everything about their structures and their strategies and all that stuff, but you've got to now apply that knowledge that God has given you, and you've got to apply the power of His Holy Spirit that allows you to walk out, allows you to be free. See, if you are not applying that which God has given you to apply, including the empowering of His Holy Spirit, then what are you doing? Why aren't you? Why aren't you? Why are you not applying that which God has given you? You know, God has given you incredible power. He's put a 44 Magnum pistol in your hand, and you're still using a slingshot. I mean, you can shoot with power. When you shoot at the enemy, you can shoot with power. You knock him to his feet. If you just believe the word and you apply it, things change. You know, belief and application of the word of God is a huge thing. Huge. Very few people actually do that. Very few people actually read the promises of God and then apply them in their lives. Because the application is a place of victory. See, when you here's something. This is I know people that struggle with this. When you see the promises of God and the Word for you, when you mix those with faith, when you apply faith to that, you see some amazing changes then. Because the application of your faith to the promises of God changes things. See, when you see in the Word, for example, let me give you a simple one. And actually, they're all simple. Because God kept it simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. Here's a simple one. Matthew 6. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And speaking specifically about your needs, the things that you need, that God will take care of them. He's talking about food and clothing. He's talking about, you know, the things that you and I have need of on a day-to-day basis. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? Right. Now, you know, I've had a simple premise with a lot of these things, which is, if God has said it in His Word, there's one of a few possibilities. Either it is true, 100% all the time, because God is truth. That's one. Two, if it's not working, either there is I have a misinterpretation of what God said, in which case I need Him to clarify it so that I understand the truth, or He lied. So those really are the only options that I ever have when I look into something like that, when I find a promise that God has made to his people. So in that situation, you've got to ask yourself, all right, you know, is this 100% true and does it apply to me? Is there a misinterpretation of this if it's not seeming to work in my life? Or did God, is he pulling my leg? And the truth is that he is not a man that he should lie. Scriptures already tell us that, so that knocks that one out the window. But you know what? I think some people do think like that. They think that God is not really truthful because they don't live like he's telling them the truth. He tells them a promise. He gives them his word. He tells, look, go this way. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of it. And what do they end up doing? They don't believe him. So they run to the world and the world system for their provision. They follow the thinkings and the guides of men. They look and act like the world. So when the world is freaking out, so are they. Isn't that ironic? Though we have hope, protection, the blessing of God upon our lives, though we have all of that, you will see people that claim Christ, but are acting just like the world in the midst of all these other things going on. Isn't that crazy? Right now, in everything that's going on in the world, you should be lifting up your head and looking unto your Father, who's in control of the situation, and thanking him that he has allowed you to live in such amazing times. Thanking him for the quickening of his spirit inside of you, which allows you to be of service and of ministry to others, to bless others. He blesses you to make you a blessing. Hey, you know what? Look, we know this message gets out to tons of you people out there right now. And, you know, this whole thing started with just, all we did was just what God told us to do. That was it. We didn't need a denomination. We didn't need the approval of men. We didn't need somebody to give us 20 steps. And now, okay, now you're finally ready. Now you're finally ready, brother. Now you can finally do it. Then next week we'll get you to pick up the offering. You know, okay, no, we didn't go through that process. You know, God says we do. That's how we roll. That's how we try to roll. It's pretty simple. So we did it like this. We did it how he told us to. And you know what's funny is that the message that we bring, not that we look to results the way that the world looks to results, but it is interesting because to those that's important to them, hey, this reaches a lot of people. And God has used this to reach a lot of people. We don't even know all the people this gets out to. But we know that it's making an impact. And the impact that it makes is because he is in it. All we do is just make ourselves available. All we do is just allow for God to do what he wants to in and through us. That's it. Look, you don't have to make it more complicated than it is. It's not that complicated. Just, you know, just roll with it. Trust him. You know, you don't have to fix the world's problems. He's not expecting you to. What he is expecting you to do is to follow the leading of his Spirit. Look, the scriptures already tell us that the earth will wear out like a garment. It's going to happen. It is happening. Man in his greed, unbridled greed, unchecked, separate from the Spirit of God, does not know how to preserve a resource or take care of anything. He doesn't. So he will use and abuse until there's nothing left. You know, this world, if it was taken care of by people that were led by his Spirit, if this world was actually managed by those that walk with him and followed even the guidelines he laid out in scriptures. About even like land, for example. Here we talked a little bit about food recently in a sermon we preached. But the land. You know, scriptures talk about, you know, how you should treat the land. and when you should give it a break from farming and cultivation for it to recover. You know, you give it breaks scripturally, and when you do that, it yields more. There are time periods of giving the land a break. Why did God say that? Because ultimately, when you follow what He said, things actually produce more. They do better. You know, in the, there was a time during the French Industrial Revolution where they tried to change from a 7-day week to a 10-day week. And so they didn't want people to have that one day off. And when they did that, everything started breaking down. People started breaking down. The machines started breaking down even more. So they went back to a 7-day week because the thing that they realized was that, now they didn't understand the spiritual significance of it or the principle that God had put in place, but He had. God had put a principle in place for our benefit. See, here's the thing. The word is put there for your benefit. The promises of God are put there for your benefit. Not His. They're not there for Him. They're there for you. He is the Word. So, it's the benefits are put there for you. The application is intended for you. See, that's why, too, when people think, okay, they're going to go the way of the world, walk in direct opposition to what it is that He has said, and they think that by doing that, that things are going to work out. No, they don't. If you didn't know this, the world lies. And the world lies to people. So when they say, oh yeah, okay, you're going to go this way, you're going to be something special in the world system because of this, this, and this, all you get is one lap around the track. All you get is a little bit of bliss for a short-term period. That's it. And then, when the time comes, they come calling. Yeah, I keep. I don't know if you ever saw that cartoon, Pinocchio, where that that guy comes and he rounds up all these naughty little boys and takes them off to Pleasure Island. And on Pleasure Island, they're given all the things that they want. All the candy, all the sweets, all the cigars they can smoke, everything. And then, in the process of that, eventually, Pinocchio can't find any boys. They've all been turned into donkeys. You know, so in the process of Pinocchio turning him, seeing that whole thing happen, he freaks him out. And there's still a few of them that hadn't been turned into donkeys yet. And, you know, he's like, he tries to get away, but he's sort of like a half donkey by that period in time. So, you know, that the funny thing about it is that, what, I mean, it's all of those things, they're alluding to spiritual realities. You know, the world, yeah, you get to go to Pleasure Island for a little while. You know, you get to smoke it up, ham it up, have a good time, do all of that. And you give your free will over to that system. And then, what ends up happening? Well, now they're a slave. Now they're a beast of burden for the rest of their existence. That's how it works. So, you know, rather than taking that exchange, then for as Moses, as the scriptures describe Moses, you know, he didn't give up the truth for, you know, the chance to be in Pharaoh's house, you know, the pleasures of Egypt for a season. No, he wanted God. And if you want God, you will take whatever it is that it means to follow Him. That doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, you're going to end up on the other side of the world in the middle of a horrible situation. You may. I have. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. All it means is that he calls the shots. Wherever it is that he says to go, that's where you go. Whatever it is that he says to do, that's what you do. That's how it works. And you recognize, you respect, and you live with the very real, conscious, deliberate knowledge of the Lordship of Christ Jesus in your life each and every day. And to that Lordship, you yield. To that Lordship, you are given over to. And to that Lordship, you long for. See, the thing that the worlders don't understand about the children of God is that we actually genuinely desire that Lordship of Christ Jesus over our lives at all times. We need that. We need to hear from Him. We need to hear from His direction. Because if we don't, if we didn't hear from Him, we're missing for us, it's like not breathing. He is the breath that we breathe. And when we don't hear from Him, if it's tough to hear from Him, that we hate that. Because we long for His voice. So just even as Moses was in the desert with the children of Israel, you know, he, when God offered to send His angel ahead of him, because he was kind of ticked off at the people at the time, He said, look, I'll send my angel ahead of you. He'll go clear out the land. And, but I don't want to go with you guys, because if I do, I'll destroy you along the way. And what did Moses say? He said, no. He says, Lord God, I would rather stay here and be with you and have your presence than inherit the promised land, but you not be with us. Because what would distinguish us from the people around us? That's just it. We want the presence of God. We need the presence of God. We need His life breath in us each and every day. His Lordship over us each and every day. That's what we long for. It's not an imposition. It is our delight to walk with Him. It is our delight to hear His voice. It is our delight to be called by His name and to be His. And because that's there too, that's part of what the beauty is of this entire relationship we have with Him. In that whole process, God blesses you, makes you a blessing. God blesses you as light shines through you. And in that, we are grateful each and every day of our lives. So, hey, God bless you guys. Keep on keeping on. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com, or you can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word, on Facebook, and you will find us. So keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.